Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Manappuram Finance Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanket Chheda from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi, very good evening to all of you. We have with us the entire management team of Manappuram today to discuss their future results. With us, we have VP Nanda Kumar, who is the chairman and MD, Dr. Sumita Nandan, who is an ED, Mr. Deepak Reddy, who is the CEO, Ms. Bindu A., who is the CFO, Ms. Mano.
Sorry to interrupt. Sanket, your voice is not audible. Slightly breaking.
Yeah, is it audible now?
Yes, yes. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So, Suvin P.S., CEO Manappuram Home Finance, and Mr. Robin Karvalho, CFO Manappuram Home Finance. Without further ado, I'll hand the call over to Mr. VP Nanda Kumar for their opening remarks, after which we'll follow up with question and answer, which would be conveyed by Deepak Reddy sir and Sumita Nandan ma'am also. So over to you, Nanda Kumar sir, for your opening remarks.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to welcome you to Manappuram Finance Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. Firstly, I would like to thank our investors and analysts for their continued interest, engagement, and valuable insights. We remain integral to our journey of building a resilient and sustainable financial institution. Economic scenario, the Indian economy, underpinned by strong domestic consumption, has remained resilient amid global geopolitical uncertainties and imposition of tariffs. Historically, high GST collection, PMI showing an expansionist view, strong vessel sales, etc., reiterate the resilience of Indian economy. Our economy is projected to grow at 7.2%, making it one among the fastest growing economies in the world. With government policies favorable for growth, NBFCs play a significant role in the growth story by ensuring financial inclusion and easy accessibility to funds. Manappuram is well positioned to ride the growth curve through its flagship product, gold loans, and offering MSME, microfinance, and home loans, mainly to cater to small businesses and individuals at the bottom of the pyramid. Operating environment. The third quarter of FY26 unfolded against a mixed operating backdrop of the NBFC sector. While macroeconomic indicators, particularly consumption, demand, and rural activity, showed gradual improvement, the lending environment remained competitive and tightly regulated, with heightened emphasis on asset quality, pricing discipline, and regulatory compliance. From a sectoral perspective, gold loans continue to demonstrate resilience, supported by favorable gold prices and steady demand for short tenure secured credit. At the same time, certain unsecured and semi-secure segments across the industry, notably microfinance, continue to face challenges with borrower cash flow and collection efficiencies under close monitoring. Financial performance overview for Q3 FY26, Manapuram Finance delivered a stable and measured performance, anchored by the strength of gold loan franchise and disciplined risk management across portfolios. On a consolidated basis, we have reported a consolidated AUM of 52,125 crores, up by 13.8% QOQ and 17.9% YOY, driven primarily by expansion in gold loan AUM. Our consolidated gold loan AUM for the quarter was 38,754 crores, up by 23% QOQ and up by 58.2% YOY, supported by gold price and strong customer demand. Consolidated gold tonnage was 58.9, up by 3.2% QOQ and up by 2.8% YOY. Consolidated PAT for the quarter was 239 crores, up by 9.8% QOQ and down by 14.3% YOY. Our 9 months ended consolidated PAT was standing at 588 crores. Importantly, when assessed through the lens of our core business, the underlying earnings profile remains healthy. Our liquidity buffers and provisioning coverage continue to provide both comfort and flexibility as we navigate near-term uncertainty. Standalone business performance. Our standalone AUM stands at 44,209 crore, up by 16.9% QOQ and up by 36.3% YOY, driven by gold loan business. So standalone PAT was 381 crores, up by 1.3% QOQ and down by 15.9% YOY. Our 9 months ended standalone PAT was standing at 1,149 crores. Microfinance. Asirvad Microfinance continued to operate in a challenging environment during Q3 FY26. While broader sector is showing early signs of stabilization, credit costs remain elevated, reflecting our cautious pushing stance and conservative recognition of stress. Asirvad AUM stands at 6,091 crores, including gold loan AUM of 1,610 crores. So, down by 1.2% Q-on-Q and down by 39.2% year-on-year. Loss was 156 crores in Q3 FY26 versus 168 crores in Q2 FY26, which was improved by 6.9% sequentially and improved by 16.9% YOY. Net NPA stands at 1.8%. Our diversified lending business, including vehicle finance and affordable housing finance, moderated with a clear focus on asset quality and the risk-adjusted returns rather than aggressive expenses. For liquidity, our balance sheet remains robust with the capital adequacy comfortably above regulatory thresholds and ample liquidity on hand. Funding diversification remains a priority, and our access to bank funding, market instruments, and ECBs providing stability in managing our customers. Strategic priorities and outlook. Gold loan business continues to be a core growth engine for Manappuram Finance Limited, supported by favorable structural and regulatory tailwinds. Industry-wise, gold loan AUM is expected to scale sharply over the next two financial years, driven by elevated gold prices, a rising preference for secured credit, and regulatory streamlines. Against this backdrop, we remain well positioned to capitalize on the next phase of sector growth. The board has declared an interim dividend of 50 paise for this quarter. With that, I now invite Mr. Deepak Reddy, CEO, to provide business insights, following which we will be pleased to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening, and thank you all for joining this call. Last quarter, I laid out to you a set of what I call six priorities as we transform the business. As Mr. Nandakumar has shared, you know, our performances in the quarter, I thought I would give you an update of how we are progressing on our priorities and how confident we feel on things at this stage. I'm happy to state that we are progressing well on all of them, and I continue to remain very enthused about the possibilities. Also, to reiterate what I mentioned last quarter, you can expect me to give you a full strategic roadmap for the company and firm guidances from next financial onwards and as we close next year's operating plan. On my priorities, I laid out my first priority was on accelerating gold, which our chairman also talked about. We are making good progress, and you would have seen from our results, our AUM growth momentum has rebounded strongly. We continue to run multiple price sensitivity tests to determine the ideal scheme mix as we move into next financial year. On gold, I talked about, you know, four sub-priorities. One was on improving our branch infrastructure. Our new branch design is ready. We are in the final stages of negotiation as a vendor partner, and we are getting ready to next year completely transform our branches, the experience for our customers, and the controls we have in the way we work at our gold loan branches. We talked about last quarter about building on our digital journeys and going paperless. We are making good progress here again and targeting to go paperless for most of our customer acquisition processes in the next 1 to 2 quarters. This will not just ensure better customer experience, but will help us improve our portfolio quality and controls also. I talked about introducing a new best-in-class AI security systems in our branches. I'm happy to say that we have closed on our model and partners, and we are now getting into the implementation phase from this month onwards. Co-lending is a big priority for the group, and I'm happy to say that just this week, we have gone live with co-lending, which will give significant return profile to our subsidiaries also. My second priority was on our consolidate to grow strategy for our non-gold businesses. As seen from our results, we have to significantly improve on our credit performance and profitability here. Towards this, we have, as of now, significantly scaled down all these businesses and the geographies in which they operate, including for MSME and vehicle loans. We have additionally paused car loans, new and used, and farm equipment loans. Underwriting norms have been tightened, and our collection infrastructure is gaining momentum. We are also working on stepping up our LOS platforms for MSME and vehicle loans to ensure our processes are more streamlined and controlled. We hope to go back to a growth mode from quarter 1 FY27 onwards after strengthening our systems, processes, controls and teams. My third priority was around organizational effectiveness. Our new D-Live organization structure is beginning to show effectiveness in terms of operating rigor and ownership, which was an ownership by the teams is something which is very dear to me. I must say I'm very enthused that teams are adapting very positively to this change, and this gives me great confidence in delivering our growth aspirations. We are also shortly rolling out a very comprehensive set of changes to our people and HR practices, which I am confident will further enthuse and bring better business momentum and ownership to the organization. Simultaneously, we are mapping out all our processes currently towards making them simpler and more efficient. Right before I talked about infusing top talent, I mentioned that we are onboarding a top quality leadership team, a new group CFO, a group compliance officer, and a group general counsel have already joined us and are actively leading the transformation efforts, and that they are already making their presence felt in a very positive way. We are in the process of also onboarding new group heads of technology, risk, internal audit, operations, HR, and two group business heads. Some positions in levels below are also being actively staffed where required. Rightify was getting ready for the medium to long term, even as the long term evolves. Towards this, we have kicked off an engagement with a very large firm towards determining our go-forward technology stack. And this is expected to take a 2 to 3 years migration to fully evolve into a new age digital technology stack. We are also simultaneously working in determining various solutions that can be quickly plugged into even as the new stack goes live. Our go-forward product strategy is also being worked on, and when we talk to you about our new strategic plan in quarter one of next year, we will share the same with you. On our subsidiaries, because this is my next priority, building our subsidiaries, I must say that Ashirvad is showing very encouraging signs, and I am confident that we are at the tail end of the negative credit cycle. Business volumes are showing good growth, collections are improving, and our new book performance is performing very well. Our new book today is approximately 1/3 of our portfolio, and as we get into, let's say, quarter two of next year, you know, it will be approximately 57 to 60% of our portfolio, which will add to the overall performance. We used to have a lot of negative growth, which means our degrowth. We used to have higher degrowth than AUM buildup. I'm happy to say that we have largely taken care of that, and the degrowth as we end December is only 1%, and we'll go into positive territory as we speak. Lot of credit parameters, including the number of customers of ours who have more than 3 loans, customers of ours with more than 2 lakhs, etc., are showing extremely good and encouraging signs. So, and business growth coming back even as we tighten our credit parameters is something that envisages me. The organization is clearly being galvanized for strong growth and performance portfolio and portfolio performance in FY27. Our housing finance company, as I mentioned last quarter, is a strategic priority for us, and we have very strong plans for a housing finance company. A top quality team is being put together for the same, and should be in place by quarter one FY27. Till then, you can expect low to moderate growth in the housing finance company. I am aware that these are fairly simple priorities that I have laid out for now. But I believe these will be the foundation of what is to come in the coming years. Thank you all for your continued support and for being a part of this transformation journey along with all of us.
So now we can go for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, please wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. first question is from the line of Con from Conville. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. The first question is on the gold AUM growth. I just want to understand, if we look at the gold customers, that's about 1% increase quarter on quarter. So, the AUM growth is very good at 23%. So how should we think about, how much of that is gold price driven? And how should we think about the gold AUM growth when the gold price stopped moving up on the going forward?
So the ticket size during the quarter, we have seen an increase, especially our strategy with a lower yield for a high ticket customers. So the AUM growth is almost 22%, but the growth in number of customers is not that much because of our strategy by shifting to high ticket borrowers.
Yeah, and if I could just add that to what Bindu has stated, I think we must take into consideration, two, three other facts also, which come into play in the gold loan business. There is something called customer prudence also which comes into play, because these are the jewels of the family and which are very auspicious in our country. Right. If you look at the LTVs, both weighted average and simple average LTVs of our portfolio, they remain the same prior to gold price increase and now. They all over between 57% and 60%. So it's not that because gold price is going up, our LTVs are going up. So to your question, do you see significant risk? Now, let's say the price of gold falls significantly, then we have for a short temporary period of time, yes, there could be a small, a correction that we have, but that is always temporary. It has never been, beyond at the most 3-4 months, and the 2-3 months at the most. So we are not, we don't, too concerned about that. I must say also, let me say, worst case scenario, gold price comes down also. I would say that our company is very strongly poised to be able to manage the situation, because we have an advantage in our online gold loan portfolio. Our online gold loan app, which most of our customers transact on, it is very easy for them to repay and make sure that LTV, regulatory LTVs are met, and they don't have to, our customers don't have to keep rushing to branches, which a lot of our competitors will have to do. So I think we're very strongly poised, so even if there is a correction, it's unlikely today, but you never know, because the price is very high, sort of, which shouldn't really be too much of a worry to us. Other than, as I said, 1-2 months, we should be fine. Another thing I must state is gold loan as an asset class has got fully established in India today. Over the last 1 year, it is the largest retail asset lending class in India. So gold loan is today a great product, not just for negative times in the economy, normally in negative times in the economy is when the price of gold goes up. It's a great product for negative economic times. It's a great product even for normal economic times, because customers are saying it's a fabulous product for them to take. It's easy to avail. The repayment obligations are in their control, how the product is structured. So that's how it's already established as the largest retail lending class over the last 1 year. So largely on gold, I think we have a good story in the country.
That's very clear. Thanks so much, sir. And just on the yield perspective, how do you think about the gold yield going forward? Should it go down further to like 18% as we talked about earlier, or how do you think about that?
Yeah, the yield will be similar to whatever is the yield in the market, which is being charged by leading gold loan players. We will be with that. Yeah, already in that range. So we continue to be with the market.
So we were, I mean, to answer, please go ahead.
So it's 18.3% in terms of the gold yield. Are we in line with the market for your segment, or because we're also on a shift to larger ticket size customer, right? So I just want to understand, I think, one, 2 quarters on the road, where, how should we think about the gold yield?
This is similar to the other leading players in the market. So we'll be maintaining, as I told, we'll be maintaining more or less the same rate as the other leading players. So they also have this larger ticket, so the average will be like that. So we don't expect much change.
Got it. Sorry, just one last question on the borrowings. If I'm not wrong, it seems that the borrowing has went up a lot this quarter, much more than the loan growth. I just wonder, given that the bank is expected to inject capital, why do we need to, take so much borrowing this quarter?
So, BEIN approval is in the final stages with RBI. We got some interim approval, BEIN has sought some clarifications in that regard, etc. So they have made some submissions also. That's why the final approval is yet to come through. So we expect the final approval to come through without much delay. Maybe we expect that to happen within another 1 month.
Got it. Thank you so much. I'll jump back to you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Peter Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Congrats on the quarter. Just a couple of things on the opening comments. So, Mr. Reddy, when you said that you all are conducting like price sensitivity tests to improve the scheme mix, can you just elaborate on what you mean by that?
Yeah, so in the past we have taken a strategy of pricing at the upper end of the market. Now, over this year, we realized that we had to, as our chairman said, we benchmark with competition, which is what we have done. And we are running, various steps, that's a constant process, but we run it very closely here in terms of, geographies, customers, locations, tiers, then we to check what the sensitivity levels are. And this is what we've been doing to fine tune it, because, we move from a position of, being priced higher than market to a strategic call to be priced at market.
And so, does this mean that in geography one, let's say Tamil Nadu hypothetically, you're offering a 50,000 rupee loan at 19%, and in Maharashtra you'll offer it at 18% because the crowd in Maharashtra is different?
Competitive factors, density of branches, how evolved the market is in the state, all of these go into pricing decisions. Typically, the early states were South Indian states, let's say Kerala and Tamil Nadu, where density of competition of our branches is very high, competition levels is very high, and then you take different pricing strategies for different locations, right? And as I said, we are already showing very strong growth. We are getting ready for much, much more significant growth. And then there's a lot of tests that we're doing. But I think the takeaway you can take back is, from being priced above market, Manappuram you can be expect to price at market going forward. We have shown that in the last quarter. And the results will come through. I mean, you see leverage benefits come through very strongly in the quarters to come.
Good. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where are we in the journey of getting priced in line with peers? We are already at 10, is it?
That's a question to put a number. So I don't want to put a number, but you ask me, I would say around eight or eight and a half, we are almost there.
And then secondly, you also mentioned, number of initiatives like transforming the branches next year to improve the customer experience. You're working with a consultancy firm to develop the tech stack. how should we, like, these are obviously very good initiatives for the long term, and they're important. How do we think about how OPEX trends in that regard in FY27 and maybe beyond?
There will be some investments, a lot more capital investments that we are going to put in. But I don't think, and we are in the process of making a budget for next year, I don't think you should be overly worried about that. I mean, of course, there will be some investments, but the initiatives will also result in cutting of OPEX where required, in optimizing of OPEX where required, and also a leverage benefit coming in. As I said, so OPEX as a percentage, you should see all those leverages coming in. So I don't think you need to be overly worried about that. Let's say the new structures you're putting in, new people putting in, will have to pay for themselves in much higher productivity.
Understood. And just lastly, just repeating the same question of this one earlier, and this is probably to Bindu, but like borrowing growth being higher than loan growth, is it just simply back-ended? Because borrowings have grown like 28-29%. I'm just talking standalone balance sheet. So is it just like a end-of-period phenomenon, or was it like just throughout the quarter? And if it was throughout the quarter, then why was it so high?
It is end of the quarter only, and if you see our liquidity position, we have almost from 1,500, 2,000 types to 4,000 crore, as we were getting a lot of limits at the end of the quarter.
Okay, so just the end of period phenomenon.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, yeah, that's it from my end. I'll get back in the queue and wish the team all the best.
Thank you.
Next question from the line of Abhijit
Tibrewal
from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and congratulations on a strong gold loan growth. Again, kind of circling back on the yields, so our yields have actually declined from 19.7 last quarter to 18.3 this quarter. So, I mean, while these are portfolio yields, what I'm trying to understand is what that essentially means is the gold loans that you would have done in this quarter would have been even lower yields, right? Basically, somewhere around 17.5. And earlier, when CEO sir said that maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, we are at 8.5. So eventually, we expect these yields to stabilize around that 17.5% mark, is it?
So we would expect the yields, and you know, the way the market is operating today, then sure, our expectation is in the range of 18%. But I mean, that can be expected to be. The question is just, because we have a very unique and a very strong customer proposition in our online digital gold loan app, GoGL app. And you know, so that, you know, as a result of that, our pricing transmission of between onboarding and book yield is much faster than that of competition. So, you know, so I view that as a positive thing both for customers and us. So our expectation is in the range of, you know, 18.1 up to maybe 18.15, depending on how things go, is my expectation as such.
Got it. So essentially that also I'm guessing would be done by the end of this year, and then from next year onwards we should look at stable yields there.
That's
correct. The other question I had was on this Bain transaction. I'm sure earlier in the call, Nandakumar sir commented on it, saying that we received some kind of an interim approval, and the final approval is expected to come through in the next month. But sir, I'm just trying to understand. You remember also a media article that came out, and then you also refuted it or clarified on that on the stock exchanges. But at least, I mean, that problem which was highlighted in that article of RBI not being okay with Bain having a majority stake in two NBFCs, has that part at least been addressed with the regulator?
It is not majority stake, controlling interest.
Right, sir. Controlling interest in both the NBFCs.
Controlling interest. But that part of Bain is working out something whereby this is addressed. So we are in discussion with RBI And whatever RBI has told, Bain is ready to go by that. So that will not create any problem with regard to promised investment in Manappuram as well as the joint control in Manappuram.
So essentially, sir, I mean, if I understand this right, that whatever the RBI suggested, Bain is happy to go ahead with that. So that, I mean,
yeah,
you can get a control, joint control.
Whenever we get the information,
we will.
One thing is very clear, Bain is interested in Manappuram.
Got it, sir. And then lastly, two last questions. One is, we discussed about this customer, number of customers earlier, but today, what I'm trying to understand is, when we look at gold loan NBFCs, right, this thing around number of customers not growing a lot, see, tonnage we understand, like you've explained to all of us in the past, that when gold prices go up, it is not important that the tonnage also goes up, because customers are prudent and they borrow only as much as they want. But the fact that the gold loan customers are also not increasing, at the industry level, and despite that, if we are seeing gold loan growth, how should we read that? Is it like more number of gold loan players coming and which is where no one is seeing a gold loan customer growth, or is it like these are the same set of customers who are taking gold loans, just that they are taking higher ticket prices now, which is what is driving the gold loan industry growth?
So if I can take this question, it's an interesting question, and I request you to view it from a perspective of growth cycles. You know, so as I mentioned, you know, in the past we are probably past pricing in the past years was slightly higher than that of competition. At that time we thought it was prudent and right thing to do. As a result, you know, there were some of our customers who for years were very loyal to us. Some of them may have moved out of us. Now the price loan growth, the gold loan price has been going on for almost 1 year right now. This quarter you would have seen a significant, take up rate and catch up with our growth rate, the big uptake is happening. That's the first part of the cycle, right? Now the second part of the cycle is once the business growth comes, branches being infused, right pricing that we have in the market, then that cycle, the second cycle will now lead to much higher new customers also being acquired because the whole teams are getting galvanized. So I think what you're seeing last quarter growth of significant growth compared to our previous quarter is step one. Step two, you will move into this, but we are fairly enthused at this stage.
Got it, sir. And then I just want to squeeze in one last question. While we have shared that our yields are now comparable to other prominent gold loan players, and likewise the margins and spreads are also comparable to the other gold loan players. But this OPEX bit, right, I mean, if I look at our ROAG, right, versus the ROAG of our peers, I think it is that OPEX, right, which is significantly lower for some of our peers, right? So what is it that we are doing on the OPEX side? Is it just scale you think which will help you bring down the OPEX and then translate into better ROAs going forward and better ROEs as leverage comes? Or are there also other things that you are doing, steps that you are taking for OPEX rationalization? Thank you so much.
I think the answer is in your question. It is all of this. You know, it is both scale, which is very important, of course, but also significant process improvement, which as a result brings down our costs also are things that we are working on. So, I mean, the answer was in your question, sir.
Got it, sir. This is very useful and thank you for patiently answering all my questions. I wish you and your team the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Congrats on stable numbers. My first question is on the non-gold portfolios. So how deep can this, asset quality NPL recognition, phase go in vehicle and equipment finance, in MSME, personal loan, housing finance? Because we are seeing spikes
in the NPA. So when do you, at what levels can they peak out and by when they can peak out? And just to understand the credit cost impact incremental because of that, what is the current PCR that they are holding on the existing NPAs on each of these books? And would it be right to presume that you would want to address this in terms of provisions or recognition largely in Q4 itself so that you can start FY27 on a lighter note?
So on vehicle finance, if you see as the disbursement, the slowdown, it is more on account of the residual impact. So the quarterly increase is only some 40 crore in the vehicle finance book, on which the provision currently we are doing is in around 25-27%. So that is the provisions we are doing. But at the same time, we are doing a current valuation of the assets. And any kind of shortfall we are providing, and about 730 days also we are taking a 100% write-off. Similarly, for MSME or unsecured loans, the net NPA is zero. Digital personal loan or the small portion of unsecured, we took a 100% write-off. And on the secured portfolio, as the average LTV is very low and the ECL with a 5-year realization period is around 5-6%. But the asset in case of vehicle finance, comparatively easy to repossess and sell, we will see improvement. But of course, MSME will take more time and the customers are servicing the EMI with delay.
Okay. And in Ashirwad, can you, share the X bucket collection trends? And if I were to look at your stage 2 and the net NPL figures, would it be right to assume that the credit cost in Q4 itself will come meaningfully down from what it was in Q3?
Yes. So we have shared the details in stage on Ashirwad, the bucket-wise details, and if you see, 32, the stage 2, as on 3rd of December is only 106. So the trend shows a drastic improvement in decline in NPA in Q4.
No, I was asking about, ma'am, the X bucket collection efficiency in Ashirwad in recent months, how much that is.
Okay.
I know that we have a lesser amount of new portfolio, but how much is the leakage still happening?
Yeah, Manoj here. So I'll just answer the X bucket. If you see, I would rather answer the question to address both the new book and the old book. In our collection efficiency in our new book is at 99.78%, which is about, roughly translating to 1/3 of my book. And
yeah.
Like how the CEO had mentioned earlier, in the next 2 quarters, we expect this to reverse, in the sense that we should be looking at 2/3 of our book, our entire book, running at similar collection efficiencies. So that is how robust it is currently. So that's on the X bucket. Having said that, even the balance of the 1/3, which is the old book, we are seeing a collection efficiency increase about 2% quarter on quarter, which establishes the fact that we have not let the old book slip away. So we have put together a collection team from within the loan officers spread across our branches, where they're dedicated to focus on this so-called old book and the hard book. That should take care of our collection efficiencies.
Okay, clear. Just one last one, cost of borrowing. Your standalone cost of borrowing has declined by 30 basis points Q2, but the consolidated only declined by 10 basis points. And when I look at Ashirwad also, the cost of borrowing is actually flat.
Can you reconfirm it? Yeah, so almost 85% of the borrowings are standalone at 880, and the balance Ashirwad is around 12% of consolidated borrowing at 1020, and home finance at 950. So the weighted average is coming to 898.
So, but ma'am, that has actually declined only by 10 basis points because the standalone cost of borrowing has actually come down by 30 basis points. And Ashirwad is flat. So I was thinking that the delta improvement in consolidated level should have been higher than that.
So one reason is towards quarter end we have done a lot of borrowing. So we will reconcile and get back to you.
Okay, thank you, Vasukla.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaon from Sconsul. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks so much again. Just have a follow-up question. Number one is on the consolidated statements. Under the revenue, there's this other line, which was 27 crores last quarter. But in the December quarter, it jumped to 79, almost 80 crores. Just wondering what's that about? Is there any one-off in there?
Can you repeat the question?
Could you repeat your question, please? We just missed you in between.
Yeah. In the other revenue, which is, you know, if I look at the financial statements, consolidated, under the others, under revenue from operations, there's a 79 crores revenue over there, which was 27 crores in the September quarter. Just wondering if there's quite a large jump and, you know, anyone else in there?
27 crores.
We will share offline. If that is okay.
Okay, sure. Thank you. And lastly, on the standalone ROA, which is something about 3%, right? 3% right now. You know, it's 1 to 2 years. How should we think about this ROA going forward? Since our yield is, let's just say, continue to stay here. How should we think about ROA trajectory on the standalone business?
ROA going
further. Yeah, we hope to maintain and improve upon ROA because the per branch business is growing. So yeah, so this year also we have seen growth and we expect that momentum to continue. So there will be a huge volume push at the in the branches. So. And the OPEX, the HR cost, etc. will not have much impact. So, we don't expect much increase in the borrowing cost. So, the ROA, so where will be
for quarter.
I would say, yes, sir. So we should definitely be looking at 4.25 to 4.5 again.
Yeah.
4.25 to 4.5 standalone ROA.
Yes.
Yes.
The credit cost.
Okay, so that means.
Yes. Credit cost issues in the non-gold books will also come down. So that will.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, this is where we want to be. The specific answer is no. But as I said, you know, we have a non-gold book of vehicle loan MSME, which is, you know, for, you know, there will be some amount of impairment that we will see. 1 to 2 quarters. So you know, that's why we are factoring this when we talk to 4.25 to 4.5.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav from Capital Farming Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. First question is to Mr. Deepak. Like you mentioned that you are also working on co-lending, right? And this week only you have made it live. So just a clarification on that. Is it the co-lending agreement with the Ashirwad that has been done? Because I think on the website of Ashirwad, something like that has been displayed, that co-lending agreement with Manapuram.
Yeah, so we are working with multiple partners right now. And Ashirwad is one of them, and you know, all partners that we're working on, hopefully the minimum of 3 partners should go live over the next 2 weeks, I would say, or 3 weeks at the most.
That's great. Second, I was referring this slide number 9 of our presentation, right? So, gold loan, everyone in India who is taking financial sector nowadays aware that gold loan is booming, right, as an industry. But for us as a company, right, every other segment where we are operating, whether it is vehicle finance, right, equipment finance, MSME lending, or even housing finance, how our NPA level, GNPA level, right, in housing finance, we are approximately 5%. Vehicle finance, we are approximately 14%. MSME now, we are touching around 6%, right? Where things are going wrong, because such an elevated level of GNPA, right, coming from a lender like who is focused on gold loan, right, who knows that asset quality must be pristine. Right? So where things have went wrong, have we analyzed that part while we have done the all the course correction in last 2-3 quarters or something, some kind of accountability has been set up, or how you would like to assure that whatever the balance assets we have, they are now remaining the pristine quality and not some other surprises which we might expect in a quarter or two down the line? Yeah, that was my second question.
So you could see the importance and seriousness of our thinking. In the fact, when I laid out my priority, my first priority was accelerate gold, and my second priority was to follow a consolidation goal and consolidation growth strategy for non-gold. Right? That's just the order of the priorities to tell you how seriously, you know, we are taking it. We don't have to dwell on a post-mortem of what went right, what went wrong. You know, it's a learning. We have obviously studied our entire models from acquisition to business, or to underwriting, to risk, to systems. We are taking that all into cognizance, and that's what we are strengthening. Till that's fully in place, that's why I told you MSME and vehicle loans, you'll not see much growth even in the current quarter. It's only as we get into next year, you will start seeing growth. We will correct it. Have we taken specific questions that you asked? Have we seen why, what went wrong? Obviously, yes. Because starting point was, you know, if it is high, why is it high? What do we have to do to control it? What are the controls we have to put in place? What are the systems we have to put in place? What are the different processes and, you know, credit policies, underwriting policies, risk policies? All of these have been taken into consideration. That's what we're working on. And that's why I said it will be a slow take up. This is not something that we're going to overnight accelerate. We'll get our process in place. We'll be comfortable with it, and of course then we will grow them. We intend to grow these businesses, but when we are confident that we have learned from the past and are go forward is strong.
That's great. If you allow me one question within this, just a follow-up on this. Can you give some clarity what percentage of within this GNPA segment across the products that we have, what would be the percentage of customers, those who are defaulting in each of these categories? Like one customer who is defaulting in HFC, housing finance also, and to whom we have given the vehicle finance also, to whom we have given the MSME loan in for their business purpose also, right? Or microfinance loan also. So are there any certain set of customers in percentage terms who are defaulting in more than 2-3 categories? Or these are exclusively a different set of customers, no correlation over there?
No, so you're talking about customer level NPAs of customers across a group. I think they're very, very, very minuscule. Offhand, I'm sorry, I don't have the exact number with me offhand, but that's something that we look into very, you know, very closely, and that those are, you know, things which are monitored also very closely by us. It's very minuscule.
Yeah.
And our customer level NPA policy takes that into consideration.
Yeah.
Great. My last question, I have asked in my couple of interactions also in last phone calls on branch expansion, right, specifically on the gold loan side. So is it like there is something which is stopping RBI to give us branch expansion approval, or is it related to BN transaction? Once that is done by RBI, then only the RBI will give us approval for branch expansion, or we are not going to be RBI for seeking approval for branch as of now. So what exactly is the roadblock or short stopper which is not giving us an opportunity to expand the branches, specifically for the branch?
I think I explained that the point in our previous earning calls also. This is, of course, I mean, I can't speak on behalf of the RBI or why they're giving or not giving, you know, that's not, what I can speak about, but our belief is also because there's a very significant transaction, you know, with a new co-promoter coming on, and I think that's the first priority which probably the RBI, the regulator is also looking at. We don't see any reason why, we will not get approval shortly. We hope to. We have put up our proposals to RBI, which we hope will be favorably decided upon. And any specific reason that you think that we have, why we are not getting anything? The answer is absolutely not, nothing else.
Thank you. I will come in for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhanshu Mishra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Deepak. Good to hear your voice here at Manappuram. Given the fact that you're pretty much outlining to change the organization at various levels, in the medium term, 2 to 3 years from now. Second is, you also spoke about LOS, LMS transformation. So, which are the tech partners we are looking at to have this changed? Would this have different kind of LOS, LMS for various kinds of asset classes that we would be working on? The third part is, are we rationalizing the manpower or having a different orientation for the prison manpower? Given the fact that we would be
your voice too. Two, three questions. One on lot of your questions, I must say, came a little double to us because I hope I'm answering the questions right. One was, of course, on the strategy which you told us, and so my request is, please bear with us for, as we move into FY27 when we'll share our, the well thought through strategy, I request you to bear with us. On our tech architecture, what it is going to be, it will be premature at this stage because, that's the journey we have just started with multiple tech partners, the whole study is going on because we have to take into consideration multiple factors. One is, what is the market today? Two, what is the market expected to be in 3 years, 4 years? And so we have to build a tech platform not just for today, we have to build a tech platform that is going to last us for the next 10 years. And with the advancements which are happening out here, the solutions are, quite complicated to make. It's not just plain cookie cutter, but we are working, towards that, to put that in place. We are working with multiple partners, it's not one partner. Specifically, your question on LOS, LMS, will different products have different LOS and LMSs? I think that's an output of our entire exercise, then we will know. But what all I can assure you is, whatever it is each individual product will have individual workflows customized for themselves. It will not be one standard workflow that we will use for all products. We will have strong LOSs for different asset classes, which are, figurative of how, our competitors also use it, with a forward-looking lens also. And manpower was your next question. That's a constant one, right? You will always have, options to optimize, technology will come in, can you optimize manpower, all that is yes, but will the absolute manpower come down? Obviously no. Because if you're going to talk about our AUM continuing to be 50,000, and then we are putting in technology, and then people will come down. I don't think we are looking at, that we are looking at a very, very strong future for the company where our AUM and our growth is going to be multiples of what we are today. I don't think there's too much to read into in this existence. It is the steady state, well thought through, well calibrated, and then we'll take a long-term approach. It will not be a short-term approach. It will be a medium to long-term approach that we'll take.
One last question, if I can squeeze in. Bain Capital also holds a controlling stake in Finance, which was erstwhile Adani Capital. Into Manappuram Finance to have that controlling stake.
Sorry to interrupt, so your voice is not audible properly.
So Bain Capital holds a controlling stake in Tiger Capital, which is as well Adani Capital. Is it possible to have that company merged into Manappuram so that they continue to hold a controlling stake in that entity as such?
They are already working out some strategy whereby their interest as what assurance as far as Manappuram is protected.
So it's
What are the options that they're looking at? Will it be taken? I think that is completely not our prerogative. That's a question you should aim. You should probably ask to Bain Capital. I don't think it is premature. And you've seen us holding statements on this whole transaction. You know, there are certain questions asked which we've given responses to, and you know, we are awaiting clarification.
Right. So thank you so much. Best of luck, Deepak, and best of luck the entire team. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prithviraj Patil from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I have two questions. One, I wanted the option number for the quarter, the gold option number. And the second was, what is the incremental yield of the gold?
So option is around 32 crore during the quarter. The yield currently stands around 18%.
Hello?
Option is around 32 crore during the quarter. Our current yield stands at 18%.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yeah. So I just wanted the option number and the incremental yield on the whole.
The option is around 32 crore during the quarter. And our current yield at 18% on gold loan book.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening and thank you. So one on OPEX again. So if we go back 3-4 years at similar branch productivity of about 10-11 crores where we are right now, the larger peer Muthoot used to be materially lower than where we are. So if you can just highlight where is this mismatch? We are in the 5s, we were in the 3s, at that similar productivity, and I'm going back 4 years now. So if you can just highlight where is that mismatch, what can we do to improve between us?
So, Mr. Kothari, I think, you know, I've laid out the various actions we're taking towards this. And as we roll out our strategy, as we, you know, roll out our operating plan for next year also, I think you'll have visibility, you know, going back 4-5 years and comparing with competitors, you know, who did what, who did when, I don't think we'd want it to be on a call.
No, but do we agree there's a mismatch and we want to work on that, or this is how our business is structured and this stays as it is?
No, we have answered that question. Right? We have very strong aspirations of growth of the company, and when we lay out a strategy, you will see it for us. I mean, obviously, you know, we are obviously not happy, and we will never be happy with Georgia. Our whole orientation will be always that we have to do better than what we are, wherever we are, at whatever stage we are. And that's our orientation. There is a lot of work to do, which you're working on. And the results will follow, and we'll share with you the plan. As we get into next quarter, we'll share the plan with you.
How much of the program
AUM? And you would have seen, already you would have seen the per grant AUM from the beginning of the year to this year. We were a little behind, we know why we're behind. We also explained our reasons because we also followed a different pricing strategy as one of them, and one important thing. We have taken those actions, and you will see who is there. We are here to be a dominant player in the market, and which we will be.
Correct. And this 4.25, 4.5 standalone RO is, what timeline did you give for that?
As we go into the second half of next year.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harit Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I have one question. In Aashirvad Finance, there is some impairment losses. We are booking this quarter we see the losses. So this losses is complete losses, or in the later quarter they will be cover up?
Yeah, so the collection efforts are going on for the NPA book also. But you have seen that in MFI, once it is 90 DPD, the collection is very difficult. But a lot of effort is going on. We are taking the collection agencies also to improve the collection. But as the quality of book is improving, we will see reduced credit cost in the coming quarters.
Yes, we should see reduced credit cost, and we have taken some encouragement this time even on ARC book as a prudent measure, even though we did have to some small amounts. But as I mentioned, the outlook is looking strong, sir.
Okay. My next question one is, like now, Bain Capital, they are acquiring controlling stake in the company. So it will be from the promoter will be shifted to the Bain Capital, and also when this transaction will happen, there will be open offer. But as I read that this open offer was priced at 236, but now price for the stock is already increased way higher. So when this open offer will come, there is chance that Bain Capital will get more stake in the company.
These details are already given.
See, the promoters are not selling the stake. This is
okay.
Yeah, this is entirely primary, right? So this is already it is told to the market the plan about the plan of 9% equity. Now, once the approval is received, then 9% through convertible debentures, which will be converted into equity in another 18 months. So they will have 18% stake, and the present promoters will have more than 28% stake. It will continue. So it will be a case of joint promoters, existing promoters, along with Bain as a joint promoter.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. As that was the last question for the day, I would now hand the conference over to Mr. VP Nandakumar for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So, thank you so much for your active participation as usual. Now, this time, I hope you could hear more about the new CEO strategy also. I hope that helps you to understand what the company will be in the coming 1 or 2 years' time. So, thank you so much for the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you very much, and thank you for your continued support.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.